now time to visit with our good friends from First Baptist Church in Sanford. We welcome you to R&R with Sam and Jacob.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the R&R Show. I'm Sam Roach. I'm the senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Sanford, alongside Jacob Peterson, our minister of youth there at First Baptist. Welcome to the show this afternoon. We want to talk, I don't know if we want to talk about rules necessarily. Maybe it's better to say we want to talk about decision making and how can we as Christians make good decisions when we don't have a particular verse, a particular scripture passage that may be specifically directly on point. I want to begin, Jacob, just sharing this story. It's really a tragedy. It's about Tullian Chavijian. And there's a World Magazine article that references this back from 2015. For our listeners who may not be familiar with Tullian Chavijian, you're probably familiar with Tullian's grandfather, who is Billy Graham. Tullian, as a young man, became the pastor at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a church made very famous, I think is a fair way to say it, by D. James Kennedy, of Evangelism Explosion, and just a very well-respected ministry. And quite frankly, Tullian had some really good things to say about the gospel. Jacob, I think you have one of his books on your shelf.
Yeah, I've got a book called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything.
Well, I've read a little bit of his writings, one of his interviews with the Gospel Coalition, and he was really a very careful thinker. He may still be a very careful thinker when it comes to issues of the gospel, but very forceful. I mean, he was also someone that if you had to pick a name and a face for the young, restless, and reformed group, the newer generation of Christians that were coming up around 2000 and a little bit later, he was it. He was kind of the guy. He was writing a lot of articles on the TGC blog site and just writing books and speaking and kind of a darling of the Christian movement among people in your generation, Jacob.
It does help when you're related to Billy Graham.
That helped him. Yes, that's true. But I think he also had some good things to say. But when I think of Tullian, I think of this phrase, it's law or gospel, law or gospel. He would continually go back to this refrain. Now, if you read his writings, I think he does a very good job of delineating what he is trying to get at between the law versus the gospel. We're not saved by anything we do. It's only by the blood of Christ. We aren't sanctified by what we do. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the grace of God. But he was so strong, he was so forceful that you almost got this idea that, okay, this is the new generation of real Christianity. The old generation, Billy Graham, kind of the old fuddy-duddy way of doing things, that's in the past, and so now we really need to be all about the gospel and grace, which is true, but put those laws, put these things of grandpa in the past, okay? And when I think of grandpa and the law and the gospel, one of the things that comes to mind about Billy Graham was something known as the Graham Rule. And this is actually something that's come up recently in other quarters, but here was what the Graham Rule was, or still is. Billy Graham said that he would never meet, eat, or travel with a woman alone. Now, we can't find that anywhere in the scripture that says that that's a sin to meet, eat, or travel with a woman alone who was not his spouse. But yet that was a rule that Billy Graham had. The tragedy of Tullian is that maybe if he would have abided by this rule, he wouldn't have fallen. He actually, the tragedy is that he had to resign his pastorate at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in 2015 after admitting an adulterous affair. And so I think this is something, of course, we're not, again, trying to point him out for ridicule at all. We want to pray for him, and a lot of people have been praying for Tullian, because up until this point, I don't think he has ever truly come to the place where he, even though he admitted the affair, he never came under the guidance of the people that wanted to shepherd him and actually restore him properly under the leadership of the church. But in any event, the Graham rule, I don't think we want to try to come up with the Graham rule. We could debate the importance of that or the wisdom of that. I actually find quite a bit of wisdom in the Graham rule. But Jacob, for today, let's talk about some guidelines. If we had to give some R&R guidelines for questions that Christians face where we can't go to the Bible and find a specific verse, a specific passage of Scripture that directly, as best we can tell, directly says, okay, this is a sin, do not do this. What would be some questions we would ask, that we might ask to help us, to guide us in decision-making for those areas where we can't find a passage that perhaps is directly on point?
Yeah, I think one thing that we need to do before we even get into our three questions is, a lot of times when we approach these topics, we had the mindset of, is this allowed? Am I allowed to do this? Is this okay? You know, a lot of times I have kids in the youth group that want me to give them permission or not give them permission to do something. So instead of saying, is this allowed? We've got three guidelines today that we're going to walk through that'll be helpful. So the first one, instead of saying, is this allowed? Ask yourself, is this helpful? Is what I'm looking at, is what I'm thinking about helpful? And where we get that from is, if you're looking at your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Let me read that to you. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And so if you're considering something, you know, whatever it might be, you need to ask yourself, is this helpful? Is this worth doing? You know, is good going to come out of this? What do you think, Sam?
Well, that's a great verse. And I think it's important to note, as the ESV translation of this passage does, all things are lawful is actually in quotes. This was probably something that the Corinthians were saying. It was some kind of rejoinder, perhaps, to Paul. All things are lawful. And they were engaging in certain activities that Paul, I think, would question and want them to stop and consider. Is this really helpful? Because he goes on to say, okay, I hear you. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And just like the Corinthians back in Paul's day, as Christians, we come across areas where it may be lawful for us to engage in. And by the way, isn't this a problem we see too, Jacob, where Christians, we want to get as close to that line as we can. Just tell me what, as you mentioned, just tell me what is okay. How far can I go?
Tell me how much poison I can drink before I kill over dead.
And thinking that, you know, that what's really sad about that is that we think, oh, that's where true fulfillment is. If I can just get to the very edge of that line where I'm not crossing the line, that's where I'll find joy. That's where I'll find happiness. That's not the case.
No.
And so today we do face questions in life. Things may be lawful, but they may not be helpful. Can you think of an example where we might encounter that in our decision-making as we go throughout life, Jacob?
And if any of you guys, you know, have any input, feel free to call in. What's that number, Sam?
919-775-1050. 919-775-1050.
You had a thought earlier today. What was the story you had about Michael Jordan?
Well, I've been watching, I guess I'm kind of late to the dance, but this documentary series, The Last Dance, is a 10-episode series. It's on Netflix. Just disclaimer, it's not necessarily children-friendly, so maybe this is one of those areas where it's not helpful. But I do think it's an interesting documentary to watch. And one of the particular things that I noted was how they chronicled Michael Jordan's gambling. He was very clear in this documentary. He loved to gamble. And one of the instances that they highlighted was in the 1998 Eastern Conference Finals after Game 1 against the Knicks. He shows up in game two, and it seems like Michael's tired. He's not having his best game. The report gets out that he was at a casino in Atlantic City gambling the night before. And so here's the question. Can we go to a passage in Scripture, for instance, that says, you shall not gamble? No, we can't. But is this one of those areas where perhaps it's not helpful? I love what they said in this Jordan documentary. One of the pundits, he was gambling not only with his money, but he was gambling with his reputation. Now that's another question perhaps too. We won't have to get into all the details of Michael Jordan and that incident. He came back and said, look, it's not an addiction. It's just something that I enjoy to do. It relieves my stress. But I think we could envision situations where gambling would not be helpful. What about some of the consequences of that gambling? Even if it's not a habit, just engaging in gambling, you're for one, Jacob, I think it shows arguably a lack of trust in God. We're not using our God-given gifts, abilities, and talents to go out and to earn money. That's one of the ways that the Bible clearly shows that we should gain material things. It's through our work. That's the primary means, through gifts that people give us. It doesn't, though, highlight go out and gamble with your money to get more money.
Yeah. And, you know, back to the question, is it helpful? You know, the Billy Graham rule, like you were talking about, there's nowhere in Scripture that says that I can't ride around in a car with a lady who's not my wife, or I can't meet and have a meeting one-on-one with her. There's no Scripture in the Bible that says that, but that's not very helpful. Somewhere my wife is listening and she's saying, yeah, if you want to stay alive, that is not very helpful to you, Jacob.
Not helpful to you.
But seriously, though, you know,
well, we can think about gambling too,
yeah,
in terms of there's a risk there. It may not be an addiction, but it could lead to it. It could lead to a place in your life where you really enjoy it to the point that it becomes an addiction. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this. We have this idea about living in a way that's going to promote good things.
Yeah, and so that kind of segues into our next kind of guideline. So the first one was, is it helpful? The second one is it giving the devil a foothold? Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, and give no opportunity to the devil. It looks like we have a caller.
Hello, welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment today? Should I leave a message?
All righty then. So we're talking about, does this give the devil a foothold? And basically what that's asking is, if you do this, if this is something that you spend your time doing, is this providing an opportunity for sin to really get a hold of you? Are you putting an opportunity out there for the devil to lead you down a dark path, somewhere that you don't need to be?
And I think, Jacob, it's important for us to talk about the fact that there are some things that we can engage in individually that may not give the devil a foothold. We have different experiences, we have different makeups, and so there may be certain things that we could do that Scripture does not forbid. It won't really negatively affect us, but because of who we are, because of certain things that tempt us, that lead us astray, that wouldn't necessarily cause a problem for another Christian, we need to be wise about this and not give the devil an opportunity to drag us into sin.
So an example of that, a personal example, there are no scriptures that say that we can't drink alcohol. There are scriptures that say that we don't need to be drunk and be drunkenly and disorderly, but there's no scriptures that say not to drink alcohol. And in fact, Paul tells Timothy to drink wine. But for me, I just have quite a few alcoholics in my family. And so, you know, when the question of, you know, do we want to have alcohol in our house or do I want to drink alcohol? When I was thinking that over, I'm thinking, for me, I don't want to give the devil a foothold because I've seen how that's affected my family, my extended family. And so I look at it and I say, well, it's not really helpful And for me, you know, reading Ephesians 4:27, for me personally, that might be giving the devil a foothold in my life. So I've decided to opt out of that one.
So it's not, there's not a clear prohibition against ever having a glass of wine, but in your situation, as our Roman Catholic friends like to say, this is a prudential question. It may not be prudent.
Yeah.
You're too young to remember George H.W. Bush, but he liked to use that word. It wouldn't be prudent.
Yes.
And so we want to stay away from those things.
I think one thing that we need to toss out there is most of us don't know what our footholds might be. We don't know the things that we might get addicted to or the things that are really going to put a hook in us. You know, I've never heard of anybody who said, you know, I've decided that I'm going to be an alcoholic, or I've decided that I'm going to be addicted to gambling. A lot of times they get a taste of that, and surprisingly, it's something that gives the devil a foothold in their life.
Well, I want to talk about this. I think actually there is clearly scriptural prohibitions against the use of marijuana. I think you talk about the Greek word pharmakopoeia in the New Testament. It's there in Galatians. It's in Revelation. A couple places in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's translated as sorcery. Sometimes it's translated as witchcraft. I believe it's because the use of illicit drugs does bring up evil spirits. But in any event, we live in a culture today that says, look, marijuana, it's legal here. It's legal in this jurisdiction. I'm fine with it. It helps me relax. And so it's something where I think not only is it clearly prohibited in Scripture, but even if you didn't think that it was, is this something that is helpful? Is this something that is beneficial? Could it also give the devil a foothold? I think clearly it could give the devil a foothold. It's known by many scientists, it's described as a gateway drug. Even if you don't agree that it's a sin, and I think it clearly is to use it, it leads people to try other things, experiment with cocaine, heroin. It leads to a lot of other problems. And getting back to our list, Jacob, or our guidelines, we've talked about helpful, and I don't want to run past this just too quickly because there's another area that I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that as Christians we only need to listen to, quote, Christian, unquote, music. We've already had an episode on this. But, as my daughters like to point out, music can't be Christian. Only people are Christian. But Matt Chandler, in dealing with this question of what types of music should we as Christians listen to, what concerns should we have? And I love what he said. He said, well, for this question and other questions about helpfulness, does this draw us closer to Christ, whatever music we're listening to, whatever action we're engaging in, or does it dampen our affections for Christ? Now, that you have to work that out, but I think that's a good question for us to ask. Is this helpful? Does it increase our love for Christ, our affection for Him, or does it weaken it?
Yeah, so to review the two guidelines that we've talked about so far, if you're trying to decide, is this something I should do? Is this all right? The first question was, is it helpful? And that scripture was 1 Corinthians 10:23. The second question was, is this giving the devil a foothold? Is this giving the devil an opportunity in my life? And that was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. The next one that we want to ask, the third question is this going to be a stumbling block for someone else? And let me turn to 1 Corinthians. We're back in 1 Corinthians again. In chapter 8, verse 9, let me read this to you. It says, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. What do you think that means, Sam?
I think Paul is talking about our Christian witness there, specifically in 1 Corinthians. The issue is the culture, there wasn't really a sharp distinction between church and state. And so in order to be a good citizen, you would participate in the religious observances by going to these feasts dedicated to particular gods in the culture. And so Paul was running into situations where people in the church were saying, it's okay, it's lawful, it's permissible for me to go to these idol feasts and participate. And Paul's saying, well, wait a minute. First of all, that's wrong. But also think about this question. What about the weaker Christians? What about the newer Christians? The ones that see you going to these feasts, and they're not able to discern necessarily between what is lawful and unlawful. They see you do this, and now they're going to say, that's fine. I can go ahead and do it. So based on your participation in this activity, you could lead someone into sin by virtue of your example.
So let's try to give a more modern example of what that
we don't really have like. Idol feasts necessarily going on left and right. That may not be the best example.
I've not been invited to one of those yet. How about this? Occasionally, the children at my house, my 7 and 5 year old, will say something, and I will look at them and think, have you lost your mind speaking to me like that? Or have you absolutely lost your mind speaking to your mother like that? And my wife has had to remind me, they learn how to talk to people by listening to us. And so if they have sarcasm or have kind of biting comments.
All right, hold on now. You're stepping on toes.
Yes, if your children speak disrespectfully to you, it's probably because they've been listening to how you speak to your spouse. But if my wife and I talk in a way that, you know, we shouldn't be to each other, or maybe we're being very sarcastic, or maybe if we're complaining a lot, that is a stumbling block to our children. You know, so for instance, my wife and I, and probably Sam, you and your wife, need to be careful how we talk in front of our children, because we don't want to set a bad example or teach them something that they don't need to be doing. Would you say that's a good example?
I think it's a great example. I think it hits home too closely. I've had similar conversations with Alicia where she will note certain things that our girls will say, the way that they say certain things, and she will connect their tone of voice, what they've said, to their father. And I have to, when I'm wise, just receive that correction, receive that instruction. And remember what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4:29. He says, when we're speaking, whatever we say, only speak those things such as is good for building up. And the sarcasm is something that, is it sinful? Can we find a verse in there that says, do not speak sarcastically? No, but when you continually speak in that manner, that doesn't build up. It can not just irritate you, it can essentially tear you down.
So here's another example. Lottery tickets. I know a lot of people that when they stop and get their gas, you know, they might buy a $1 scratch off. I don't know any verses off the top of my head that deal with that. And if somebody were to ask me, I might say, let me think about that. But here's a story that somebody shared with me. I know someone who is in Gamblers Anonymous, and he said, you know, I had a really cool supervisor, and one of the things that they used to do was on the way into work, they'd buy a bunch of lottery tickets and pass it out to the people who worked for them. It was just kind of like, hey, what's going on, guys? Nice gesture. And he said, you know, I had a really difficult time with that. I am in Gamblers Anonymous. I don't need to be playing the lottery. And so he had to talk to his supervisor. But do you see how something that for some people might be harmless, I mean, we're talking about a dollar scratch off, but do you see how for somebody else it could be a serious stumbling block and we would never know it?
Absolutely. And that's so important for us to consider, Jacob, as we're going through these guidelines. I think we need to address this question. Someone will push back and say, look, the Christian life is not about rules. The Christian life is not about guidelines. The Christian life is just about listening to the Spirit and following the Spirit. Now, I'm not ridiculing the fact that we as Christians need to follow the Holy Spirit. In recent messages, you and I have both talked about the importance, how we need the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. But when I hear someone say that we don't need guidelines, that essentially the critique is you're being legalistic, right? And if someone were to listen to us today and say, well, these guidelines, that's not really, I don't need those. I need the Holy Spirit. You guys are treading into legalism. I don't really need this.
I think the first thing that I would say is that the Holy Spirit if that's who's talking to you, is never going to contradict God's word. And so to act like there might be a discrepancy between what the Spirit is leading you to do and what Scripture says is absolute nonsense, first of all. But second of all, I'd say, I don't know that it's really being legalistic. You know, if I had the oven turned on and it's 400 degrees, am I being legalistic by warning my child, hey, don't put your hand on there, that might burn you? I think that's just trying to be helpful and give some guidance.
Right. I don't think the Spirit is working against these guidelines at all. Who's to say that the Holy Spirit didn't lead Billy Graham to come up with these rules for his life? I think these are very much, they could be Spirit-led rules that he made to protect himself from temptation, from the appearance of evil. So I just think that's a really hollow critique to say that talking about these issues, coming up with guidelines, is legalism.
I would also say that, so here's the three guidelines we've given. All we've asked you to do is say, is this helpful? Is this maybe going to give the devil an opportunity to lead me somewhere I don't need to be? And is this a stumbling block? And I guess I would say, if that really bothers you, if you have something that you enjoy doing or something in your life, and those three questions really bother you, you kind of have some pushback for that, then that's going to lead me to think that you've probably got some idolatry going on. If there's something in your life that you think is more important than making sure the devil does not have an opportunity to tempt you, or making sure that your actions are not leading someone else somewhere they don't need to be, I've got to question, you know, where your heart is on those issues.
Right. So that's a very clear way of saying it. And that's a good question for us to consider. If these guidelines are upsetting us to the point where we're willing to just continue on without any reflection, without any discussion, any type of meditation on God's word, to ask whether we are being faithful or whether we're being just selfish or perhaps worshiping something above God, this is serious stuff, and we should take it to heart.
And we also, we don't want to leave out, because we talked about the Holy Spirit earlier. If you are spending time with the Lord and you're spending time in His word, then the Holy Spirit will convict you and nudge you on these issues. You will have some guidance from the Holy Spirit.
And also, I just want to close, Jacob, with being very clear about the gospel. One thing that we do not want you to take away from our discussion today is that, first of all, that you are somehow made right with God, that you are justified, is a Bible term, because of guidelines you've put in your life. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not that we get ourselves all cleaned up so that we can come to God. No, the gospel is that we realize that we are sinners and that we need to get clean only through the shed blood of Christ and trusting in that alone. But there's also a second misconception, I think, among some Christians. They come to the cross, they receive Christ as their Savior, and then they might think, now I've got to follow these rules to really make God love me. If I can just be a great rule follower. That's not what we're saying. I don't want you to, Jacob and I don't want you to take that away from today's discussion. What we're saying is that God loves us so much that He wants the best for us. And He has principles for living. And if we will apply those principles that are found in His word, He will bless us. And that is the pathway to true blessing.
I'm going to agree with everything that you just said. That was a pretty good wrap up.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today. We want you to feel free to call in. We'll be back next Tuesday at 2 p.m. And hopefully every Tuesday until the Lord comes back, we'll be here. We'll see. I just got some wide eyes from Jacob.
That's a long time. That's a long time.
We'll see. 919-775-1050. Write it down. Be prepared to call in next week. We look forward to hearing what you have to say, because it does make for an interesting time to discuss and hear your comments. God bless you.
You have been listening to R&R with Sam and Jacob, a live production of First Baptist Church in Sanford and WWGP Radio. Join our friends from First Baptist again next Tuesday at 2 o'clock p.m. for R&R with Sam and Jacob, right here on 1050 AM and 95.1 FM WWGP Radio.